Iran's leader warns Israel's heading for its end, and those who seek normalization of ties with the regime are, quote, betting on a losing horse. The Iranian army announces launch of major drone drills across the country with a focus on surveillance and reconnaissance operations. And German doctors stage mass nationwide walkouts to protest rising cost of living. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to World News. Our top story, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that the government's pursuing normalization with Israel is just like betting on a losing horse. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said Israel is headed towards its end, and countries that are trying to normalize ties with the regime are making mistakes as losses await them. He said Israel is full of hatred and anger, and its animosity is not only toward Iran, but all of its neighbors. Ayatollah Khamenei also hailed a readiness of the Palestinian groups to resist occupation. Leader called Israel that is a cancer that he said will certainly be eradicated by the Palestinian people and resistance forces in the region. Ayatollah Khamenei was addressing participants of the Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran. In the meeting, high-ranking officials, including Iran's president and parliament speaker, were also present. Earlier, we were joined by journalist and political analyst Julia Qasim to get to know her take on normalization of ties between some Arab countries and the Israeli regime.
Of course, obviously the sovereignty and the rights of the Palestinians are last thing on the agenda for the Saudi regime, the Gulf regimes, and the occupation. But the first thing is their material wealth and their sustenance of their regime's economies, which always has to come at the expense of the Palestinians, the Yemenis, the oppressed of the region, which Saudi Arabia has been oppressing via its siege, and Israel has via its occupation since for 7-8 decades now. So in a time of increased insecurity, of Saudi Arabia losing its war on Yemen, and with the security of the Zionist entity being in a particularly precarious, weakening situation, they have inched closer and closer towards normalization in line with Bahrain, in line with other normalizing countries of the region, who take this step to basically preserve their economic standing, their regime's economic standing, given that they historically are comfortors of Western governments, and the Zionist entity itself is basically an expanding military base for these same Western governments. So it just follows in a trajectory that as their influence is threatened, is shaken, and is weakened in the region, that they are taking this next step to be more open with their normalization.
The Iranian president has once again strongly condemned the recent desecration of the Holy Quran in some European countries.
Islam is a religion of freedom and equality. The Holy Quran is also a book of mercy, wisdom, and divine words. Insulting the Holy Quran as the precious miracle of the Prophet Muhammad is an insult to humanity, freedom, values, and spirituality. The Islamic Republic of Iran strongly condemns such hateful and spiteful acts that occur in some parts of the world with the aim of spreading Islamophobia. These acts also hurt the sentiments of Muslims across the globe.
Raisi made the comments in a message to leaders and people of Muslim countries on the occasion of the Holy Prophet Muhammad's birth anniversary. He also called for the promotion of unity and solidarity among Muslims. The Holy Muslim Book has been desecrated in the Netherlands, Sweden, and Denmark on several occasions this year. The sacrilegious acts have taken place with the go-ahead given by those countries' authorities amid protection provided by their security services. And Muslim countries throughout the world have held huge protests to condemn the profane moves. Earlier, activist and author Abulfaz Sabuti joined us with his take on recent desecration of the Holy Quran throughout Europe.
The enemy, they don't want this mercy in the world. They don't want peace in the world. They want war. They want hatred. They don't want you to listen to words of God. Quran is the only book in the world that introduces itself as the very words of God and invites us to read and think. And said, if you think I'm not from God, try to bring a book like me or a verse like me or a chapter like me. Okay? This is the only world only book in the world that introduces itself as the book of God, that is written by God, not by people. It's a revelation, a clear revelation. This is the only live miracle of God in our time. So you can't destroy knowledge, you can't destroy spirituality, you can't destroy a scripture by burning. It's clear, it's hatred. It is a kind of hate speech, and it's surprising that how some countries, they supported these guys. The answer is because they want hatred. They don't want peace, they don't want love in this world, they don't want mercy.
Different units from Iran's army kicked off large-scale joint drills across the country from the Persian Gulf in the south, the western, and northern regions. The Navy, the Ground Force, and Air Defense Force, and the Electronic Warfare Unit of the Army are all taking part in the measures. Around 200 drones are being used in the exercises. Unmanned surveillance and reconnaissance drones successfully carry out monitoring operations over land and maritime borders, as well as international waters in the early hours of the drills. A spokesman for the joint drill says Army's new achievements will be unveiled during the exercises.
The participating units are categorized into two groups. The first group shows the offensive power of the Iranian Army's drones, while the other one tests the defensive power of the UAVs. The Army's new achievements will also come into operation during the drills. For the first time, air-launched electronic warfare operation will be carried out. In addition, various drones will be flown from our vessels. They will hit different land and maritime targets.
Commander of the drills has also spoken about the maneuvers. Rear Admiral Habibullah Sayeri said the joint drills show Army's defense power and achievements in domestic military production despite sanctions against the country. Top Iranian commander also touched upon the importance of maintaining and improving combat readiness of Iran's armed forces. Journalist and political commentator Mohsen Abbas says Iran needs a very sophisticated defense mechanism because it is surrounded by U.S. and Israeli bases all around its borders.
Iran has a need for this military hardware and this defense of a very highly technological nature because they are up against virtually every border from Afghanistan through to Azerbaijan, through to Iraq and the Gulf itself. Iran is surrounded by the Anglo-Zionist imperialist military bases and missiles themselves. But of course, missiles is just one aspect. The standing army amounts to at least a million personnel in itself, so huge numbers. They've also advanced in terms of naval power, which they've been flexing their muscles on over the last kind of year or so, particularly with what I would describe as unconventional naval power, as well as the conventional sort. The most unconventional being speedboats, literally, which are now armed with very sophisticated missile capability, which is a threat to even the 7th Fleet of the Americans, which is based out there in the Persian Gulf, in Bahrain and other ports. The bottom line is that Iran has a solution to virtually everything that the Americans and their Atlantic partners have in terms of their belligerent efforts to dominate and that part of the world.
Turkish police have detained over 90 people in 18 provinces over suspected links to the outlawed PKK militant group. Security officials said a simultaneous operation centered in southeastern San Luirfa province came after the PKK claimed responsibility for a bomb attack in Ankara. Turkey launched operations following the incident. It also carried out airstrikes against alleged positions of Kurdish militants in northern Iraq, which was condemned by Iraqi authorities. On Sunday, a suicide bomber detonated an explosive device near entrance of the Turkish Interior Ministry building in Ankara, injuring two police officers. A second assailant was killed in a shootout with police. Kurdish group is designated as a terrorist organization by Turkey. Thousands of German doctors have launched a day-long strike throughout the country on Monday over rising costs and the relentless surge in inflation.
The clinics have no choice but to protest because we have to make sure we have money by the end of the month to pay all the staff and house rent.
In the capital, Berlin, hundreds of doctors also gathered outside the health ministry headquarters demanding more financial support from the government. Doctors said rising costs of energy and shortage of skilled professionals has increased pressure on the clinics. Nearly 20 medical associations, insurance organizations, and a number of pharmacies took part in the industrial action. Germany, like other European countries, is witnessing skyrocketing inflation. Recently, some leading research institutes warned that recession in Europe's largest economy will be worse than previously feared. A diplomatic rift between India and Canada deepens further, with New Delhi calling on Ottawa to withdraw dozens of its diplomats from the country. India has reportedly asked Canada to repatriate 41 diplomats by the 10th of October. A British daily has cited sources familiar with the Indian demand that New Delhi has even threatened to revoke the diplomatic immunity of those staffers who remain in the country after the deadline. Tensions between the two escalated after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau accused New Delhi of being involved in the killing of a Sikh activist, Hardeep Singh Nijjar, in June. Nijjar was a member of the Khalistan movement that has been demanding an independent Sikh state in India for decades. The right-wing Indian government of Prime Minister Narendra Modi has rejected any involvement in his killing. Former U.S. President Donald Trump once again appears in court, this time over a case involving civil fraud. Lawsuits filed by New York Attorney General Letitia James. She's accused Trump and his family business of inflating the value of their assets by billions of dollars to secure better loans and insurance terms. If found guilty, Trump could face a fine of up to $250 million, a ban on running businesses in New York, and a five-year restriction on commercial real estate activities. Trump, however, has denounced the case as a sham and part of a political witch hunt.
And now I have to go before a rogue judge as a continuation of Russia, 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 as a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time. And I don't think the people of this country are going to stand for it.
The trial is expected to last several weeks and could have a major impact on Trump's business empire. Marks the latest in a series of legal woes ex-president and front-runner of the 2024 Republican presidential nomination is encountering. Trump already faces charges of sexual abuse, alleged mishandling of classified files, and attempts to overthrow results of the 2020 presidential race. The former president continues denying any wrongdoing, though. Muslims in several countries, including Iran, are commemorating the birth anniversary of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Special ceremonies and events are being held throughout Iran, including the capital Tehran, to mark the occasion. This day falls every year during Rabi al-Awwal, the third month of the Islamic calendar. Every year, Muslims around the world celebrate the birthday of the Prophet to confirm his teachings of monotheism with great fervor and enthusiasm. People in many countries mark the occasion based on the narratives of the Sunni Muslims who put the Prophet's birthday on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. In Iran, the event is held between the 12th and 17th of the lunar month known as Islamic Unity Week.
The Grand Khatam al-Nabiyyin Mosque in Kabul was the venue for the ceremony celebrating the Prophet Muhammad's birthday and the Islamic Unity Week. The ceremony drew people from all walks of life, including religious scholars, Taliban officials, and students. The speakers emphasized the need for following the path of Prophet Muhammad in all aspects of life and strengthening the Islamic bonds.
God has introduced the Prophet of Islam as the best role model for humanity. Prophet Muhammad is the role model because he is the mercy of God for us. Following his path will bless us luck and good in the life and the hereafter.
The attendees of the ceremony also expressed their views on the occasion. Many of them said they were happy to see Muslims from different sects coming together and celebrating their common faith. They also said they hoped for peace and stability in their war-torn country.
Western countries have always tried to divide Muslims. This has been one of their plots to implement their goals and dominate Muslim territories. But fortunately, today, all our Muslim brothers are aware and won't let anyone divide us or create hatred among us. We should work together for the prosperity and security of our Islamic world.
The Islamic Unity Week is an annual event that is observed by both Sunni and Shia Muslims around the world. This is also an opportunity for Muslims to celebrate their common values. Following decades of invasion and war in their country, Afghan Muslims have gathered today to show their unity and brotherhood. They also voice support for other Muslims across the world in the face of global arrogance and oppression. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
And that's a wrap for your latest, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight. According to EDF Energy, a British integrated energy company wholly owned by the French state-owned EDF, the number of British customers falling into debt on their energy bills has increased by 36% since the beginning of this year. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. According to a leading forecaster, household energy bills could climb to an average of almost £1,900 a year in the coldest months of the year under the British government's energy price cap. Analysts at Cornwall Insights say the energy price cap is expected to climb from the £1,834 a year level for a typical home set to take effect in coming days to £1,898 when the cap is next updated for the months from January to March, adding to the burden of the cost of living crisis in Britain. The energy price cap sets the maximum price that suppliers can charge based on the average gas and electricity bill, meaning a cold winter could push bills higher if households need to keep the heating on for longer. The energy cap remains more than 50% higher than pre-pandemic levels. The analysts blamed an increase in global gas market prices for a likely rise in gas and electricity bills over late winter. The benchmark price for European wholesale gas surged to €43 a megawatt hour in August because of concerns that strike action at a large Australian gas project could tighten global supplies. Europe relies far more heavily on international gas markets since cutting its ties with Russia after the start of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Craig Lurie, the principal consultant at Cornwall Insights, said the energy price gap has steadily declined over the past year, and while it is disappointing to see this trend stall, given the movements in the wholesale market of late, it is not wholly unexpected. Craig Lurie added, "While the rise is small, it shows we cannot just assume prices will continue their fall and eventually reach pre-pandemic levels. Policies need to be put in place to deal with the possible situation that high energy prices have become the new normal." £1,834 a year energy cap covering October to December is based on new Ofgem calculations that assume households now use 7% less electricity and 4% less gas, having cut back consumption in the cost of living crisis. When it was announced recently, the regulator gave a headline figure of £1,923 a year, using the old methodology to help comparisons with previous quarters. However, in future, only the new system will be used. The latest energy bill forecast follows calls from more than 140 organisations and individuals, including the consumer champion Martin Lewis, to help Britain's least well-off households with a social tariff for their gas and electricity. In the letter, seen by The Guardian, they demand help for households facing impossibly high energy bills, which experts warn will continue for the rest of the decade. Craig Lurie, the principal consultant at Cornwall Insight, said, "Although the government's toolbox of short- and medium-term policies, including targeted support such as social tariffs, could help ease the burden on vulnerable households, they would not be able to overcome the effects of a volatile international energy market on their energy bills." Craig Lurie said, "It is only by continuing our transition away from fossil fuels towards secure and sustainable domestic energy sources that we can reduce our exposure to such international drivers and in turn stabilise our energy prices." The forecast increase effectively wipes out the modest drop with the energy price cap, which came in from Sunday, 1st of October. But fuel poverty campaigners warned that even the small decrease was unlikely to ease the financial burden for the most vulnerable British households. Peter Smith, the Director of Policy at National Energy Action, said, "It's hugely worrying that the pain of higher energy prices is set to wreak havoc on vulnerable households again this winter." Since the withdrawal of almost all energy bill support, time is running out for the British government to come forward with targeted energy bill support to protect the most vulnerable households. Too many households are already drowning in energy debt and won't be able to cope with even higher unaffordable bills again this winter. Bloomberg News Agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to EDF Energy, the number of British customers falling into debt on their energy bills has increased by 36% since the beginning of this year. The company plans to roll back standing charges, fixed costs added on top of bills to cover being connected to the grid for vulnerable customers this winter to help reduce the strain. EDF Energy said daily charges for direct debit customers have increased by 107% for electricity and 8.2% for gas since April of 2021. Philip Comare, Managing Director for Customers at the utility, said the current system means those with smaller homes who use less power pay proportionately more, and this is not right. Philip Comare added, and that's why we decided to roll back standing charges for at least 260,000 customers to their pre-crisis levels this winter. The UK's price cap, designed to limit the amount suppliers can charge, rose on Sunday, 1st of October. It will mean one in three households pay higher bills, putting pressure on the government to do more to help offset the cost of living crisis. Reducing standing charges or moving them to general taxation is one option suggested by EDF Energy. There have been calls from lawmakers and energy suppliers for a social tariff to be introduced to lower energy bills for vulnerable customers. The Net Zero Select Committee that holds the government to account has asked the regulator to review its approach to standing charges.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ahli Baytihi at-Tayyibin at-Tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the statements of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently discussing on the topic of prophethood based on his sermons. Especially, we are currently going through the sermon number 192, where Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about some of the early believers and their struggles in the path of truth, with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially at the onset of the prophetic message and the prophetic movement. And we reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam was saying that, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that these groups of people, they were very much constrained in the material sense. أَضْيَقَ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا حَالًا. Of course, when a person wills to go against the status quo of oppression, then they should not expect that they will have a very affluent life. In fact, they will probably face a lot of poverty. اتَّخَذَتْهُمُ الْفَرَاعِنَةُ عَبِيدًا. There was such that the oppressors of that time took them as slaves. That means they were forced to do what these oppressors were making them do. فَسَامُوهُمْ سُوهُ الْعَذَابِ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. And they made them taste very many difficult, tribulations and very difficult punishments. سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we saw that, okay, these early believers had to face these difficulties. They had to face forced slavery. That means they had to, the system was such that they had to bow down to that oppressive state. Of course, they did not like it and they were struggling against it. But in some instances, they had to, the system would not allow them to do anything else apart from what they were doing and what those people wanted them to do. فَسَامُوهُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. And they even made them taste the worst of punishments. Of course, when these people started to struggle and would not accept those wrong teachings and wrong statements, then they had to face the punishments. وَجَرَّعُوهُمُ الْمُرَارِ. And they had to drink a lot of, you can say they had to face those subjugations, those evil things and all of that. So جَرَّعُوهُمُ الْمَرَارِ here means that in Arabic it means they had to drink very, very bitter fluids and bitter drinks. Here it means that they had to face bitterness basically because they had to do things that they didn't want to do. فَلَمْ تَبْرَحِ الْحَالُ بِهِمْ فِي ذُلِّ الْهَلَكَةِ وَقَهْرِ الْغَلَبَةِ. So their state continued in this way of being destroyed and being suppressed, and they did not have any way to fight against it. لَا يَجِدُونَ حِيلَةً فِي امْتِنَاعٍ. They didn't have the power and the strength. وَلَا سَبِيلًا إِلَى دِفَاعٍ. Nor did they have any way to defend themselves. But because they continued the struggle, حتى إذا رأى الله سبحانه جد الصبر منهم, when Allah سبحانه وتعالى saw the seriousness of their patience, على الأذى في محبته, you know, in the and they, despite the fact that they faced all of those difficulties and problems, they still went against those oppressors in the love of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, in the path of Allah's love. وَالْإِحْتِمَالِ الْمَكْرُوهِ وَالْإِحْتِمَالَ الْمَكْرُوهِ فِي خَوْفِهِ وَالْإِحْتِمَالَ لِلْمَكْرُوهِ مِنْ خَوْفِهِ. And they continued to bear difficulties and problems out of God's fear. جَعَلَ لَهُمْ مِنْ مَضَائِقِ الْبَلَاءِ فَرَجًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of success and victory from within those difficulties and problems. فَأَبْدَلَهُمُ الْعِزَّ مَكَانَ الذُّلِّ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them honor in place of the humiliation that they were facing. وَالْأَمْنَ مَكَانَ الْخَوْفِ. And security in the state, security instead of the fear that they were facing and the insecurity that they had before that. فصاروا ملوكا حكاما. And these societies, this society became a society whereby they were the leaders now, and they were the kings, and they were the ones that were showing the way. They were the ones that were showing the direction now. وَأَئِمَّةً أَعْلَامًا. And this was the victory that they faced and that they achieved.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, Allah now Imam Ali alayhi salam explains about this issue and says that, see, these difficulties that they faced and the problems that they faced and the patience that they had despite the problems and difficulties and the steadfastness that they showed, it paid off. And now they became those flag bearers. And they were now the ones that were showing the path towards the people. They were leading this movement of fighting against oppression and suppression. That was what the Muslim community had achieved after all those struggles that they had. And now also, and every time, people need to understand that if they continue to struggle in the path of truth, then Allah will give them the opportunity to now show to others the way towards reaching and achieving perfection as a society. And especially now that we are within the, you can say, the week of unity, this week is one where we need to get together, where we need to together struggle to achieve the nobility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to achieve. وَقَدْ بَلَغَتِ الْكَرَامَةُ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ مَا لَمْ تَذْهَبِ الْآمَالُ إِلَيْهِ بِهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered them with His favors, and they were able to achieve what even their hopes and what their aims, what they hoped for even, was lesser than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Allah gave them beyond their hopes. فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانُوا حَيْثُ كَانَتِ الْأَمْلَاءُ مُجْتَمِعَةً وَالْأَهْوَاءُ مُؤْتَلِفَةً. But this they were achieved, they were able to achieve because they were united groups and their views were together. This is where they were, why they were able to achieve this, what they achieved, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says in Nahjul Balagha. As such, if we continue to be united, then just like the previous nations at the onset of the prophetic movement were able to reach beyond their expectations, nobility that was completely unseeable at that time, but they were able to achieve it, inshallah, even we as Muslims, we will be able to achieve if we are together in the path of truth. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
Former U.S. President and frontrunner for GOP nomination Donald Trump has called for store robbers to be shot. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. American newspaper The Hill has covered this story and tells us more. In an occasionally dark and profane speech, Donald Trump on Friday, 29th of September, sought to win over Republicans in California by complaining that rich people in Beverly Hills smell bad because they're denied water, reiterating lies about widespread election fraud and calling on police to shoot people robbing stores. While many of his remarks at the California Republican Party convention in Anaheim were familiar retreats of Trump's attacks and grievances, his encouragement of violent retribution against criminals marked an escalation of his long-standing tough-on-crime message. "We will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store," he said, drawing loud applause from the crowd. "Shot," he added for emphasis. Trump was one of several Republican presidential contenders appearing at the event in Anaheim in this Democratic stronghold. While there is little hope for any of them to defeat President Joe Biden in California in a general election, California will play a critical role in the slate of states voting on 5th of March, in the so-called Super Tuesday primaries. With 169 delegates at stake, a win in California would move a Republican presidential candidate much closer to the nomination. And a recent rule change could give Donald Trump, who is so far dominating the primary, an advantage. If he wins more than 50% of the vote, he would be awarded each of the state's delegates. A Public Policy Institute of California voter survey released on Wednesday but conducted in late August and early September found Donald Trump with support from nearly half of the likely Republican primary voters. Ron DeSantis was far back at 14%, with the rest of the field lagging in single digits. Trump's comments on Friday, 29th of September, underscored a central question surrounding Trump's effort to return to the presidency. While his focus on red meat issues plays well with the Republican base, it's unclear that it will hold much appeal with a broader set of voters needed to win a general election. His remarks about crime, for instance, were specially pointed. In the past, Donald Trump has proposed shooting migrants to prevent them from crossing the border. In his book and in his interviews, former Defense Secretary Mark Esper alleged that Trump inquired about shooting protesters during the George Floyd demonstrations. He has also proposed the death penalty for drug dealers, human traffickers, and anyone convicted of killing a police officer. During his first year in office, Donald Trump advised police to be tougher in their handling of suspects being apprehended, telling police recruits, "Please don't be too nice. The word that they shoot you will get out within minutes, and our nation, in one day, will be an entirely different place," Trump said. "There must be retribution for theft and destruction and the ruination of our country." Homicides and other violent crimes have risen in California, where residents have also been deluged with headlines from rampant car break-ins and drug use in San Francisco's troubled Tenderloin District to street racing and illegal takeovers across a new $588 million bridge in the city of Los Angeles. Republicans see crime as a salient issue that can help them win back some of the suburban voters who have turned away from the party since Donald Trump emerged as its leader and the Supreme Court overturned the constitutional right to an abortion. Several Republican presidential candidates and others in the Republican Party have pointed in particular to events this week in Philadelphia, where dozens of people faced criminal charges after a night of social media-fueled mayhem in which groups of thieves, apparently working together, smashed their way into stores in several areas of the city. Donald Trump tapped into California Republicans' exhaustion with the state's Democratic leaders, who he said brought the state homelessness, open borders, high taxes, inequality, work tech tyrants, and rising crime. California was once a symbol of American prosperity and creativity, but today it is becoming a symbol of our nation's decline. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. Donald Trump called for shooting store robbers on Friday, 29th of September, in a bleak speech to California Republicans and warned this country will die if Joe Biden remained president. During the address to GOP members, Trump also railed that wealthy Beverly Hills residents smell because of water denials and repeated election fraud lies, according to the Associated Press. "We will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you're leaving that store," Trump said. He was given a huge applause. "Shot," he emphasized. The rhetoric is in keeping with Trump's tough-on-crime mantra, but signified a ramped-up emphasis on punishment. Donald Trump has previously pitched shooting migrants to keep them from entering the United States, particularly with the border with Mexico. The former Defense Secretary Mark Esper has said that Trump asked about shooting George Floyd protesters. He also floated imposing the death penalty on convicted drug dealers, on people who kill police officers, and on human traffickers. Several other Republican presidential hopefuls also attended the event in Anaheim. It is unlikely that California voters will pick a Republican during the general election, but any GOP candidate that triumphs in this state's primary sees an easier path to the nomination. California has 169 delegates up for grabs, and a novel change in rules could give Donald Trump, who is leading the GOP pack, a leg up. Under this new rule, Trump would take each of California's delegates should he garner more than 50% of the primary vote. The intensified calls for action come as President Joe Biden lapped Trump in campaign fundraising. Biden's team reported $72 million during quarter two and $77 million in cash on hand, more than doubling Donald Trump's haul, according to Mediaite, citing the first FEC filing for the 2024 presidential campaign. With your support, we will overcome the vicious attacks from the deep state and evict the crooked Joe Biden from the White House. He's the most corrupt president in our history, Donald Trump said in demanding donations. He's the most incompetent president in our history, and this country will die if we have to go through another 4 years of this guy. The heated appeals to voters correspond to Donald Trump's efforts to separate himself from his Republican competitors, none of whom appear poised to best him in primaries. He skipped a GOP debate this week and elected to rally in Michigan instead, in an apparent effort to woo laborers in a pivotal election state, the state of Michigan. Trump's scaremongering and proclamations come on the eve of a New York civil trial this coming week that threatens his eponymous business with potentially ruinous fines. He also faces criminal proceedings in Georgia, also in Florida, New York, and in Washington, D.C.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about why it is necessary to avoid harming people. Here at Hadith of the Day and IRIB English Radio, we would like to congratulate our esteemed listeners on this most auspicious and happy occasion, because as you know, today marks the anniversary of the birthday of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to the Shiite narration, which is in our opinion the stronger of the narrations regarding the date of the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is also marks the culmination of the week of unity between the various sects within Islam. To mark this happy event, we would like to, first of all, recite a tradition from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is kind of tied up with the week that we're in, the week of unity. We can all learn a great lesson from this hadith, is about, as you know, why we should avoid harming people. And this goes for, harming, other Muslims who belong to other sects as well. The Holy Prophet Muhammad has been narrated as having said, "Abstain from harming others, for this is your charity towards yourself." Meaning if you abstain from harming other people, and you don't harm other people, you don't hurt other people, this is in fact an act of charity towards yourself. It's possible for you to ask, how can this be an act of charity towards ourselves if we don't harm others? And fortunately, there's another hadith which has been transmitted from the grandson of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is actually an explanation of this hadith, and it explains for us and elucidates why abstaining from harming other people is an act of charity towards oneself. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following: "A man who keeps his hand from harming other people is keeping one hand from harming them, whilst they would keep many hands from harming him as a result." In other words, if you'd be nice to people, you don't harm other people, you don't hurt them, this could, obviously, both physically and also, psychologically and spiritually and in every way, those people, as a result, as a reaction to this, to your niceness and kindness, they will also be kind to you and they will not harm you or hurt you in any of those ways. So, in fact, you are actually protecting yourself from the harm that could accrue and the hurt that could accrue from them by being nice to them and by being kind to them. And and ironically, this is not only true for other human beings. We can extend this to everything in the universe as well. Living and inanimate beings and inanimate beings. That's why we have one hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he said, "By Allah, the righteous have one indeed. Do you know who they are? They are the ones who do not even harm small ants." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at avoiding harming people in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.